are all miracles and must make the most of our limited time here. Each of us have these unique gifts to contribute, and it's our job to develop these gifts and give them away. The preschool SLP is about working smarter to create real change in ourselves and in others. Being an SLP is a mission. Let's discuss topics that matter. What are the game-changing strategies? How can we treat the whole child? How can we create the shiniest versions of ourselves and of our clients? We're here at the drawing board for a reason. Together, let's create better. If you work with children with autism, or if you have a child with autism, this episode is for you. We are going to talk about the neurodiversity movement and intervention, and how I see intervention is the driving force behind the neurodiversity movement. But before we dive into that, I have some important news to share. For the month of April, it is Autism Awareness Month. We are going to have a 4-course autism series at speechpathology.com. And it is going to be awesome. I worked so hard on this and I want you to be able to see it. So it's really important that you don't miss this. On Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be live on speechpathology.com. And I'm going to go through the month of April. Every Thursday, we're going to start with the beginning stages of intervention, and then we're going to end with the advanced stages for individuals with autism. So I'm basically going to take the research, we're going to review the research, and then I'm going to show you this is how you put it in practice on Monday morning. So it is going to be an incredible series. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be there with me live, and make sure to put in the comments, I listen to Kelly Vess's podcast, or maybe you're CIS member, make sure to give me a shout out. That would mean the world to me, having your support, having you there at the drawing board with me at speechpathology.com. This is a really important series for me, not only because I'm so passionate about autism, but also in bringing the research into practice and improving outcomes. This is a mission in my life, but because speechpathology.com is my favorite continuing ed company. They are hands down the best out there. They have the best speakers. They have the best workshops. I myself have been a member for over 10 years in speechpathology.com. So I'm very proud to be presenting for them. They're fantastic people. They do quality work and they make the world a better place. So make sure to join me and make sure to give me a shout out. I always see what's in the chat and that would mean so much to me to hear from you. Okay, let's dive in. I want to give you a little background about what I see happening in the climate of autism intervention. And it has to do with social media. So with the rise of social media, there's also a rise of tribalism. And when I'm talking about tribalism, I'm talking about this modern tribalism in which what happens is you're only listening to or associating with people that share your point of view. So what happens with social media, and I know you know this already, I'm just going to review it, is that if you like something or you like this opinion, social media is going to go and feed you more of that opinion. So they're going to take your news feed and they're going to feed you with opinions that match your opinion. So you have this echo chamber where everything you hear around you is exactly what you think. Now, what happens as a result of that is that narrows your viewpoint. And the idea behind this is it becomes very reductive. Your viewpoint becomes very small from one point of view because all around you, you're receiving news and you're suggested to join groups of people that think exactly what you think. So your viewpoint becomes very, very small. Now, the problem with that is we know from the research that diverse thinking. So when I think of neurodiversity, we're talking about people who think differently. When they come together, you get better outcomes. You get more innovation. So actually, if you have a group of individuals, you do not want individuals in the group that think the same way. You want individuals in the group that think differently. And when you have that, you're going to have better solutions. You're going to have better innovations. So that is what we need in autism intervention. When it comes to autism, it's a very complex condition. It's very multifaceted, and you need multifaceted viewpoints if you want to make any progress. So the problem is with social media, you're getting these extreme viewpoints, and they're very reductive. They're very much like, this is the way best practice looks like for autism intervention, and anything that differs from that is wrong. We have an enemy. We're this strong tribe of people, and this enemy is the people that think differently in one little area that makes them the opposition. So what you have is this tribalism, and this tribalism is very, very bad for the field of autism intervention, because autism intervention is so multifaceted that it's an all of the above proposition. So if you want to be doing best practice in autism intervention, you need to be multifaceted in your approach, and it needs to incorporate many different viewpoints, many different theoretical perspectives, because it's all domains that you're working with. So this is a real problem that we have here, is that people are getting more reductive instead of more inductive in their thinking, because they need to think more complexly, but instead they're thinking more simply. So the problem with them thinking more simply is you're getting further and further away for effective treatment for a complex condition that autism is. And when I say treatment, I mean that we are helping the child on many domains, not on a single domain, okay, where we're treating a whole child. We're not treating a mouth. We're treating the whole child, and that requires a very complex, a very inclusive manner of intervention, not exclusive. So this is what is happening right now in our field. So the problem is that there's some that are taking this extremist viewpoint, and this is often what you're exposed to, is these extreme viewpoints in social media, which are saying, well, intervention is wrong, because intervention for autism is suggesting that autism is a disorder, and that these are symptoms of autism, and that when you're providing intervention, that you are treating the symptoms of autism. So there's this real emotionally based thinking out there that you're treating autism like a disability if you're providing intervention and you're trying to erase all aspects of autism from the child. This is emotionally based practice. And the problem with this line of thinking is that this line of thinking is not evidence-based. There's no evidence base that says the child that doesn't receive the intervention is going to be happier than the child who does receive the intervention. The child that doesn't receive the intervention is going to be better adjusted, or the child is going to have better outcomes. That is not the case. In fact, it's the opposite of what the research indicates. So we need to think about EBP and not emotionally based practice, but we need to think about evidence based practice. In the case of autism, it's extremely important, because if we're going to get into tribalism, if we're going to get into reductive thinking, we are not going to help these children. But if we're going to get into inclusive thinking, in which we look at the evidence and we look at what is working, what is not working, and let's take everything that's working and develop a comprehensive intervention that helps the child as a whole, that's when we're going to produce better outcomes. So when I look at neurodiversity, I think it's all about intervention. And let me explain why. Being someone who's neurodivergent myself, neurodiversity to me is the opposite of saying no to intervention. Neurodiversity to me is all about empowerment, and it's all about empowering children to have their own voice. empowering children to have control over their bodies, empowering children to have control over their environments, empowering children to have autonomy in which they can independently function in this world. That, to me, is what intervention is about. It's about empowering neurodiversity, giving these children a voice, giving these children control over their bodies, giving these children control over their environments, giving these children control and their ability to interact with others, and giving these children control and autonomy and the ability to function independently in this world. And we do that with intervention. And the research indicates that better outcomes in all of those areas is with provision of intervention. That's what neurodiversity is about. It's about giving these children the wings so that they can go and take off and fly. So, how are we going to do this? Right now, we are not doing a very good job. Because what the research indicates is that outside of the school intervention that we provide, the children benefit from more. And when I'm talking about more, private speech therapy, private occupational therapy, private feeding therapies, private physical therapy, private behavioral intervention therapies, ABAs, the naturalistic type is what I support, private play therapies, private movement interventions, private music interventions. So all of these private therapies, they cost money. And what's happening today is our children are illogically and unethically grossly underserved in terms of this intervention. So let me give you an example. Children with autism are 22.2 times more likely to have a motor disorder in their bodies. Yet they are no more likely than their neurotypical peers to receive movement intervention for this motor disorder, even though the research shows that the movement intervention works. So we can empower these children to have control over their bodies, to have control over their environments, to have control over how they manipulate their bodies in interacting with others. We can empower them, but we don't. Now that is the problem. That is when we don't have neurodiversity, when we do not give these children a voice in this world. So this is what is happening today. So let's talk about what else is happening. And I'm seeing this right now, especially after COVID, when we have an unemployment rate that is so low in the United States. It's under 4%. That's wonderful. But unfortunately, there's a labor shortage and there's a therapist shortage. And there's a case in the United States of the haves and the have-nots. So those with money, and I think this is wonderful for those with money, we don't want this to end, but this is the case, they're receiving the private therapy. They're getting the better outcomes. And this is high stakes. So these children that are receiving the private therapies, this is going to impact the next 100 years of their lives. They have a better trajectory. Because early on, neuroplasticity is so great. You can create such great change. And the research is very clear that intervention does matter, especially early on. So you give these children intervention, you impact the next 100 years of life. It's a very wise investment. You're spending pennies and you're getting dollars in return. Now, there's the have-nots. Now, this is what we have going on right now in the United States. We have children with autism that have Medicaid. Now, they are not receiving the private intervention outside of the school. And the reason they're not receiving these private interventions is because the private clinics are not accepting the Medicaid. They're only accepting the premium insurance. And when they do accept HMOs or the other insurances, there's a huge copay. So what you have is you have so many children in the US that are middle class, that are working class, that are poor, that are not receiving these interventions. And by not receiving these interventions early on, they're going to have worse outcomes for the next 100 years of their lives. So this is something that should be funded by the government. This is something that initiatives should be made so that private clinics are picking up these children for huge tax deductions, or there's some sort of incentive to pick up these children during this market in which we do have a labor shortage. But we can't be doing what we're doing. What we're doing right now in the United States is we have a case of the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots are not receiving intervention that is sorely needed. That is a very wise investment for us to make in these children that is going to change the outcomes for their entire lives. So this, my friends, is what I see neurodiversity is. Neurodiversity is investing in these children so that these children have a voice, so that these children have control over their own bodies, so that these children have control over their environments, so that these children have control over their bodies when they are interacting with other individuals, so that these children have autonomy and are able to live independently in this world. We can have these outcomes in which neurodiversity is here, in which these children are empowered. We can have this, but it means that we need to invest in these children, especially early on. It is simply unethical and illogical to not do so, and that is the current state that we are in. So you're probably thinking, Kelly, I am a speech pathologist. What do I do about this big issue, this big policy issue, this big legal issue, this big shortage that we have, these waiting lists that are 2 years long that the child can get into if they wait long enough when they're 6 years of age? I mean, after all, the very latest research is showing that 6 month difference and starting intervention is a statistically significant gain in communication development. So we're talking 6 months. We're having waiting lists here that are 2 years long. So what are you going to do about that? Yeah, you can't get out your scissors and cut the waiting list, right? I get that. I will tell you this. The parents that I'm working with today, the ones that are getting the intervention, that are getting it covered by Medicaid, this is what they're doing. They're not calling two places. They're calling 20. This is a time right now where you have to work within a system and you have to take the back door and you have to crawl on your knees and you got to get the key and you got to unlock it. And then maybe you have to try the side door and then maybe you have to go through the window. What I'm saying is that you're going to have to get really, really scrappy and use a lot of elbow grease. But this is worth it. This is high stakes. So encourage the parents that you work with. Give them a list of, well, here's 20 organizations that treat children with autism. Call all 20. Tell them your situation. Ask them what is the copay going to be. Ask them if they accept this insurance. See how you can make it work in that initial phone call. But call every single organization on this sheet. Call every single clinic. That's what it's going to take. Now, I'm telling you that's what it's going to take because that's what it takes from my back porch. I know that your back porch is different than my back porch, but I'm going to tell you that right now what I see, we're working in a very imperfect world. We're working in a situation where it's stacked against children, particularly children who do not have the funds. So if the child is middle class, working class, poor, unfortunately, they're not getting the intervention that they so desperately need. And what we're going to have to do during this time is really, really give the parent, empower them with all of the options and tell the parent, you got to knock on every single door. And that's what's happening. The parents that are successful, that are on Medicaid, that are getting their children the private intervention in addition to the school intervention, which our research has shown has better outcomes. I did this research last year. I presented it at ASHA. And what I found is the children that did our half-day school program and also received private ABA, they had better communication outcomes than those who just did our school program. I mean, that's my back porch, of course. But I'm going to tell you that if that's what you're looking for, if you're looking for better outcomes, it's going to be a team effort. And this is a multifaceted condition. And we need a multifaceted approach to the intervention. And we need all hands on deck. And in order to get all hands on deck, we're going to have to be very scrappy. And being very scrappy means that you're going to empower the parent with every option out there. And the parent has to look into every single option. And when they do, the good news is what I'm finding is when they do, they find that one place. They find that one place that does accept Medicaid. They find that one place where their insurance is covered and the copay is $20 instead of $40 a session. And they can wing it. So I want you to take all of this information, roll up your sleeves, make the world a better place, one child at a time. You are always going to be first.